Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Feel attacked. Everybody,
I mean, the
hurts.
Music fits. The music fits you.
We're going to be all right, man. We're going to be all right.
You know what? I'll appreciate your optimism tomorrow and Thursday. Today we're hurting you. Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, Howard Eskin are going to join us coming up at 11:30. I got a theory. It just hit me as we were talking in our last segment. I got a theory. I haven't told you this. I haven't told Kyle this. A theory on the Nick Nurse timeout debacle at the end. Hit that to you in a couple minutes here. Your phone calls, 215-592-9494. All right, let's hear after the game, Joel Embiid in the locker room. Some optimism here, some emotion here. Here's Joel after the game.
How do you try to bounce back as you guys head home and try to turn this thing around?
We're good. We're going to win this series. We're going to win this. We know what we got to fix. We did a better job today, so we're going to fix it. But we're the better team.
That's what I'm talking about. Talk your talk. Hopefully these two – I'm telling you, these 2 days are going to be a huge difference.
So I like the optimism from him. I think there's something to him expressing that to his team. Like, we got this. We're going to be okay, all right? I think he needs to. Now, if you just heard that and you didn't watch it last night, you can't tell what he looks like as he says it.
I get it.
He's expressing optimism, but if you watch the video or you're watching on TNT after the game last night, his head is down. I mean, literally – his head is down like a boxer who just lost a fight. His head is like down.
Because his eyes messed up,
well,
man.
Well, okay, that's part of it. But I thought Charles Barkley, interesting comments afterwards on TNT about Joel's body language. It sounds good, but if you see him, his head is down. Here's Barkley on all that.
What I'd like to see from Joel, he got to get his head up. Because he's the leader of the team. He's the best player. He's one of the best players in the world. If your best player got his head down like that, he can say it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. We just got to come out and win game three. We got to take it one game at a time. As the leader of the team, he cannot have his head down. He's got to say, guys, we're fine. They did what they're supposed to do. We got to go home and win game three and four.
I agree with Barkley there. I mean, what is he hiding his eye for from us?
Because it's all over the place.
Who cares?
He does.
Like, wait, but he's out there on the court he's out there in the court for 3 hours with the camera on. Now, we all see his eye. And in the locker room, we're going to hide his eye?
Because he was trying to hide his eye out there on the court.
But he can't. Like, Joe. I don't get the locker room hide the eye thing.
Because it's all over the place. Like, I don't know what that's called. I mean, even though I did play a doctor on TV, I don't know what that's called.
It's like Rocky.
Well, it just looks like, you know, have you ever seen Young Frankenstein?
Yes.
When the dude, I was able to, like, seriously, not trying to be funny.
I know.
Why are you over there laughing?
Well, because I didn't have Young Frankenstein on the bingo card for 11:03. I didn't have it. It's a good reference.
But no. But something is wrong with his eye. That's why I had on glasses the other day and everybody was
know.
Like, why? Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, or is he embarrassed of his eye?
Yes. If your eye was doing that, you would be embarrassed too.
But I'm on the court with my eye showing for 2.5
hours. No, but I'm just saying, if your eye like has a mind of his own, Joe, that's not, you know, he's probably self-conscious about that.
I think he's got his head down because he's upset.
No, because his eye was squirrely. What do they call that? Somebody out there knows what they call that when your eye just wants to.
It's like a lazy eye.
It tends to move.
I think having a mind of its own was a pretty good description.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you know, you want to look that way. Nah, I don't want to do that. I want to look to the right. Look at left. Nah, we want to look to the right.
He didn't only have his head down. He was using his hand to cover his eye.
He's like, his shoulders are slumped too. Hugh, forget Embiid for a second. Do you agree with Barkley, like the leader of the team, body language after a game?
I think there was a lot, like initially when you see it, I get where he's coming from.
Sulking, kind
of. Yeah, but I think Joel Embiid stepped up pretty big last night. And for him to say that, that's the most definitive thing I've heard him say in the playoffs since I've been here.
The words were. The body language wasn't, but the words
were. Because it was his eye.
All right. Well,
he should have just had a patch over his eye.
I wonder if that's the game three look. We go patch. We go pirate patch.
No, you definitely can't go a pirate patch.
Why not?
Because your depth perception is off.
Yeah, but if one eye is closing anyway.
Joe, stop it.
It reminds me in Rocky when he says, I'm seeing three of them. And then they say, hit the guy in the middle. Hit the one in the middle.
I don't know what that's called, man, but it's something's going on with his eye.
Well, it is. 215-592-9494. Let's get back to the phone lines here. Kevin is in Collegeville. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
What's up, Kevin? What are you feeling?
So, first off, I was actually going to say just what you said about the eye, about him looking down and stuff. I think that's definitely what it is. But the second thing I wanted to talk about is I wanted to hear your thoughts about running Paul Reed and Embiid at the same time on the floor.
They can do it, Kevin. We probably need to see it more. And at the bare minimum, obviously spacing on offense you worry about a little bit there, but at the bare minimum, they should be able to rebound better. I mean, holy moly, the last possession for the Knicks, Tobias is just standing there as Hartenstein just jumps over him. Like, he's useless.
Exactly. And as good as Batum is on offense, he's not getting that rebound. Tobias isn't rebounding. It's pretty much just the Embiid and Maxey show on offense anyway. So what's the point of not – like, why not just throw out another big out there? Because we're getting killed on the offensive rebound.
They really are. They did a good job in the first quarter, and, Kevin, we appreciate it. It kind of moved the numbers for the game. Like, Joel had 8 rebounds in the first quarter. He had 2 the rest of the game, including 0 in the fourth quarter. So the rebound numbers last night looked better. But when they needed it – I mean, I'm seeing it – I'm watching it again right now in front of me. When they needed a rebound at the end of the game – They simply couldn't get it. I mean, that was the bottom line. They couldn't get the rebound. Drew in Westchester. Hey, Drew.
Hey, folks. I'll spare you the good morning pleasantries. Let me just start by saying I definitely place the blame squarely at the Sixers, not the refs. I thought Nick Nurse's first timeout call was so passive. I wasn't even aware at first based on it that the Sixers even had a timeout remaining. You know, I used to have a teacher in school who, like, he would call on you and maybe, like, you knew the answer and you said it, but, like, you didn't say it with, like, your chest out. You didn't say it with any confidence, and he would respond back. He would say, are you asking me or are you telling me? And that's kind of how I felt with his timeout. Like, you just think about, like, NFL coaches, like Campbell, like Pete Carroll, like Harbaugh, like, they're running onto the field making sure they get the timeout. I just think you got to make sure you get the time out there. And I just think he's to blame for that a lot more than the ref.
Yeah, and then we're not talking, Drew, here about a inexperienced coach. Like, this guy won, I think, 7 championships when he was in England. He won the
seven
NBA championship.
For, like, 6 years
right.
in the league.
Yeah. I mean, he's think about in his career, and not just the NBA, but everywhere, he's probably had thousands of situations, or at least hundreds, similar to last night, right? End of game, a couple seconds left, timeout, inbound. Like, he's had so much. Like, he knows the deal. You know what it was, Drew? It felt like he was half in, half out. Like, he wanted
exactly.
a call, and then he's like, nah, maybe not. And then you're not going to get that call.
Yeah, I just feel like we heard, you know, I kept hearing, like, special coach. He's so much better than Doc. And he's definitely better than Doc to an extent. But just, you know, 2 games in a row, I feel like they've fumbled late game situations. The only other thought I wanted to give was I kind of thought the game was lost a little bit too in the third quarter. I don't think Maxey scored that whole quarter, and I just want him to be a dog for like 48 minutes because I actually think he was the best player on the court. But I just felt like the third quarter he wasn't taking as many shots. He got a little more passive, and I just hope he asserts himself more going forward, because, you know, if he does, they can make this a series. But yeah, I just thought not getting much out of him that, like, whole third quarter, I thought really, you know, hurt them to open the second half.
Yeah, it did, Drew, man. It's a good phone call. And we know Maxey so far in the series, when he's assertive, they can't stop him. I mean,
he's so fast, man. He's a fast cat.
And I thought he came out. I mean, you kind of called it yesterday, Hugh, the flu game. He hit his, what, first 4 threes? He was on fire to start the game. He was awesome for most of that game.
Yeah, I think everybody, like, when you get sick, I think that's the first thing that any athlete that's grown up in this era thinks about, Loden Jordan flu game. Even, I don't care what sport it is. When you wake up in the morning and you're sick, like, you fight through that because you want to have your own Jordan moment. It might not be as great as the one Jordan had, but that's kind of what you want to have. You want to have your Jordan moment.
All right, can I throw my theory at you guys about the Nick Nurse timeout situation? Ready for this? I want you guys to tell me if this is insane or there's some maybe to this, okay?
What you got?
All right, and this has kind of bothered me for a long time, but, you know, like, it is what it is now. So I keep rewatching. It's on the screen in front of us here. I keep rewatching the whole sequence, right? And there is a moment where it looks like the referee looks at Nick Nurse. But I keep noticing that everyone in the crowd is standing, right? Like behind Nick Nurse, who's got to be, you know, whatever, 500 people in that section, 1,000 mm-hmm. people in that section behind Nick Nurse. You know what my theory is? I have a theory that it's harder for the referees to pick him out because they don't wear suits anymore. I'm not kidding. Like, NBA coaches used to wear suits.
So you mean to tell me that's why he didn't get the timeout?
Well, no, I just think it's like if you're in a split second, you're looking over and you see someone in a pinstripe suit like Jay Wright used to wear, and, mm-hmm. and he stands out in front of a group of people. He's dressed just like the people in the crowd. I don't know. Like in a split second, I look over. Do I pick up him as quickly as I normally would?
I see where you're going with this, but you have to know as a ref. Like I would think that in this moment that you would think as a ref. Somebody might call a timeout.
I know, and they should be looking in.
They should be. You should be aware of where the coach is, even if he moves around. You should be aware of where the coach is.
I'm just saying they wore their suits, and the pandemic happened, and everyone dressed like they're going to the gym.
This is why people look at the NBA with the side eye, because of that. Like you're supposed, like as a ref, like somebody called in earlier and talked about different scenarios that you know going down the stretch of a game. In that scenario, as a ref, I'm thinking, okay. Might be a foul here. Somebody might want to call a timeout. I got to be aware,
mm-hmm.
spatial awareness of what's going on.
I agree.
Kyle, so the ref swallowed the whistle.
What do you think of the theory?
I love the theory. I'm not going to lie. Like I wearing the all black like tracksuit basically.
It's just like
you
bums.
Could just be some Joe Schmo in the stands.
Right.
You could be some New York bozo. You could be Spike Lee. For all
dressed
the
like Spike Lee.
But Spike Lee, like
he did
you,
stick out.
You,
Spike
you
Lee
see,
sticks
like
out.
Spike at You're the right. games.
Maybe
you
he
tell,
should dress more like Spike Lee.
I need him to dress.
I think that's a cop out.
I need him to dress more like.
It's a little bit of a cop out.
I need
to
It's as much of a cop out as blaming the officials.
It's not. That is not blaming the officials in this situation. Is not a cop out.
Yeah, a little weak.
That is not
a little weak.
Oh, you know what? As many times I've been on this station and I done heard people cry about the refs. I get one, and last night I'm taking my one. This is the one that I'm going to cry about the
you
ref.
You could have that. I'm not giving you. Just please don't file an actual grievance like the Sixers.
No, I mean, you got to. They've been,
no,
they've
you
been,
don't.
They've been snake bitten all year long.
What do you think?
What was it called? The L2M report or whatever they call it?
The two-minute report or whatever it is.
Yeah, last 2 minutes. That's what it is. So I didn't know that until you just said that. Last two-minute report.
If you were filing the grievance, if they said, Hugh, you got to write it up. Would you write it up?
I would use colorful language.
I was going to say, would it be formal? Or be like, you
no, I would use
you
colorful
bleeps
language.
Keep screwing us.
I'd be
bleep.
Like, you it'd be what's that, profanity laden?
Yeah.
It would even be ridiculous. They'd be like, he's the coach for real?
I do wonder if there actually is like a form letter you have to follow, or you just write what you feel. Like, you guys got to be bleeping
you
kidding
know what?
Me. This time, you screwed us.
Like who was it yesterday that, what's his name? Was it Boone? For the Yankees,
Aaron Boone,
when Aaron was cussing out there.
But he wasn't.
He was talking to him like Henry or whatever the hell his name was. It wasn't me.
That was one of the wildest ejects I've ever seen.
Man.
I mean,
amazing.
He didn't say anything.
I thought it was a joke.
So did
I
he.
Thought, you know what? Yesterday, I thought it was a lot that happened in the news that I thought was a joke. I thought that was a joke. And I thought. Zach Wilson going to the Denver Broncos was a hell. I thought somebody was telling a complete joke.
Well, Zach Wilson is the joke there. I mean, that's his career.
Hold on. They might have said the same about Drew Brees when he left the Chargers to go to Sean
sure
Payton.
Yeah,
and,
do you think Sean Payton can fix Zach Wilson, though?
Yeah, he fixed Drew Brees?
No. He's
again, I ask, do you think Sean Payton can fix Zach Wilson?
Hell no.
I think he'll be in Canada any year is where I think he'll be. All right. Who is more to blame for last night's loss? Our Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet. You learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. The Sixers or the refs? Currently 55% on the Sixers, 45% on the refs. Dreya's up in Philly. Hey, Dreya.
Hey, Joe. Hey, you.
Hey, what's going on?
I'm just going to get right to it. I mean, we can all agree that the refs miss, those calls, but I'm not going to put all the blame on the refs. I'm putting the blame on this so-called genius called Daryl Morey. Like, he is the one responsible for putting together this team that has no third star, no bench. There is nothing special about this bench. It's just the same old players after year that can't shoot, that has no fight, that has no intensity. I mean, we got rid of Pat Bev, who I believe his intensity and effort we definitely could have used. But no, he keeps Tobias Harris trash, Oubre playing like trash, Buddy Hield double trash. So at the end of the day, it comes down to the players who put up numbers, and ours didn't. This is the playoffs. So how the bench is playing is unacceptable.
Well, I agree, Drea, and I'm looking right now just to kind of see it again. The Knicks had five players in double digits and almost had a six. McBride had 9 points. The Sixers had three players in double digits, and they're everyone other than Embiid and Maxey combined for 32 entire points the whole game. They're not getting anything from those guys.
Exactly, and we know if this was the Eagles, we would be blaming Howie right now, but I'm still going to be like you. I'm going to be positive. So I'm going to believe that we're going to win on Thursday. And because, you know, one thing about us, we are great at home. And once we win, we just got to take it one game at a time. And I got Sixers winning in seven.
I love it, Dre. I appreciate the phone call. That would be awesome. And this would be a footnote.
I'm going to say it's going to be six. It's still going to be six.
They're going to win four in a row against the Knicks?
Four in a row. Go back up there and spank them in the garden. That's a spanking.
I let you do it.
I ain't thinking about you, Kyle. I don't care. I do not care.
Hugh's going down with this ship.
I am going down. Let me wear my captain's hat. Don't make me pull my captain's hat out.
Well, last time you did, Rojas got hot. So
no, I'm with. Like, listen, I understand that it sounds crazy and a lot of people are mad. I get it.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Last night, and I don't like to blame the refs, but that was ridiculous down the stretch. Hardenstein played well, though.
I just wanted to throw that out there. He's so annoying.
he definitely is.
Their whole Hustle team man. Is. Yeah. They're a bunch of tryhards. I mean, they're good. They're a good team, and they're well coached. I'm not like I have respect for the way they play. It's just
damn
like
try-hards.
They're getting beat by tryhards. I mean, that's it.
you can't stand them tryhards.
And to the point on Morey, Drea is right. Daryl Morey. He's overrated. I mean, let's just call it for what it is. He's overrated. His team's never got to the finals ever in any part of his career. And his trades at the trade deadline the last couple of years haven't just been, like, of no help. They have been a waste of everyone's time. I forget who the guy's name was last year. They traded McDaniels last year. Kyle, who was the guy they traded for a year ago? His last two deadlines, actually, and there was the George Hill year. Any deadline deal this guy makes is a disaster. Like, it's supposed to help, and last year was someone named McDaniels.
Jaden Daniels.
Jaden.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the fact that none of these guys are popping right into your head tells you all you need to know. Just scrubs.
McDaniels couldn't even play in the playoffs last year. And Buddy Hield. What happened to Buddy Hield? His whole
not
career.
Jaden Daniels is the quarterback.
No, I know. I think it's McDaniels was last year. But Buddy Hield has averaged like 7.5 3-point attempts per game in his career. All of a sudden, the playoffs arrive, and the guy's afraid to shoot. He played 15 minutes last night and shot the ball 3 times, 0-2 from 3. Meanwhile, the McBride kid comes in for the Knicks. He's just shooting every 5 seconds. I don't understand. I don't understand why our McBride is Buddy Hield. Why can't he come in and provide some offense? It's unbelievable. OG's in Warrington. What's up, OG?
I'll tell you what, man. I'm going to bring some knowledge to this conversation. You can't blame Daryl Morey. Here's the deal. Every year, we say the same thing. Embiid has got to get his ass under the basket. He keeps saying to me, he's taking these 20 and 30 footers, and they look great when they go in. When they don't, we got nobody under the boards. Here's the thing, Buddy Hield, if Joel gets under the basket, Buddy Hield will get an open shot. When Embiid is out there, he's bringing all that out from underneath the basket. Buddy Hield can't do a damn thing. And it's so simple. And we said the same thing with Doc. We're saying the same thing with Nurse. Don't blame the refs. If you're up 5 points with 47 seconds to go, you got to win the damn game. Now, I don't know how you feel, but Embiid has got to get his ass under the boards.
Well, I'll say this at the end, OG, and I know part of it is he's gassed and he's hurting and all that, but if you look at his numbers last night, 8 rebounds in the first quarter, 1 in the second, 1 in the third, 0 in the fourth. I mean, it's just he has no interest in rebounding after the first quarter.
We would have benefited tremendously if we could have got a little bit more of Joel Embiid towards the end of that game in the rebounds.
Yeah, they would have won. Yeah. I mean, that's it.
The man is 7'3". If you lob the ball high and he's under the basket, he's got plenty of moves down there. He can attack. He's a great foul shooter. I'm tired of seeing him 30 feet out from the basket. I'm pissed off.
I could feel it, OG. OG, appreciate it. That voice sounded familiar too, OG. And I don't know if you've ever talked to OG in Warrington. His voice, though, I don't know. Did anyone else feel like we've heard that voice before?
It sounded like Dick Vitale a little bit.
No, you know what it sounded like to me?
Well, so this is OG here.
Here's the thing. Buddy Hield, if Joel gets under the basket, Buddy Hield, we'll get an open shot.
That's our last caller, OG. That's what he sounds like. You have a voice that matches? Does that sound like someone?
Oh, he's talking about Doc. Oh, he's talking
Was
like
that Doc Rivers in disguise?
If Joel gets under the basket, Buddy Hield, we'll get there. He's bringing all that out from underneath the basket.
It reminds me a little bit of I hear it. It reminds me a little bit of two or three years ago. There was a caller I had at night, Ethan in Doylestown, defending Howie, and he sounded just like Howie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, OG called in to rip Embiid, right, if we're not getting him to the basket, and then out of nowhere defended Doc Rivers. I mean, did anyone bring up Doc today? I don't know.
No.
I don't think so. Could that have been Doc in disguise?
Maybe.
I mean, that would be amazing. If
Here's the thing. Buddy Hield, if Joel gets
could be Doc
the
in disguise, guys. That
trying
could be,
to hide his voice.
That could be Doc trying to hide his voice. I mean, that's I wasn't ready for a scandal today on the show, but that feels like one.
Doc Rivers just called him to blast Embiid
and to defend himself just for everything. Just for everything.
Doc Rivers would do that too.
Here is the deal, off of OG's point or Doc's point, whoever the heck that was. So I'm not saying last night was all on Embiid. But we all realize there's only one common denominator in all this nonsense for all these years.
Joel Embiid.
Yeah. Maxie's different. The point guard's different. The coach is different.
This team played with a lot more heart last night, too.
Again, but they're not the little engine that could. We thought they'd win the series.
I'm just saying. We and they're still going to win the series. I still believe they're going to win the series. But it the feel of that game felt different than it has been since I've been here. Let me just say
but
that.
But the end is the same.
Yeah.
They screw up the end. They screw it up. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop. We'll get to everyone's phone calls, everyone's reaction today. Sixers or the refs, who do you put that more on last night? Just a disaster of a loss for the Sixers. We will talk to Howard Eskin coming up. I'm sure he's got a lot of thoughts on what we saw last night. The end of the game. A nice Phillies win last night. We'll ask Howard about that as this team is rolling right now. And of course, we're 2 days from the NFL draft.
2 days.
We got to get Howard on record. We got to get Howard on record with a name. I need a name from Howard. Who's going to be the first pick of the Eagles?
Just don't write down two names,
no,
Howard.
No. I need a name
hedging.
From Howard. We'll do that coming up. 215-592-9494. Midday show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.